Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
I will campaign for a four-day work week. I'm with you in that. Sometimes it feels like Saturday, you're just starting to unwind. Sunday starts, and you're already having to get ready for Monday. So where sometimes is the real break? I get it. I feel like a Friday, you start to wind down. Saturday is like a legit day off.
We have a guy on the line that would be a good person to ask. He knows about managing people.
Yeah, but he's a hard-working guy.
I know, but he would buy into the four-day work week for radio people.
So.
Andy, bring him in and ask him.
Is he there? Is our boy Dave Poole in there?
Yes,
he's there.
All right, Pools. What's up, Poolie? TSN Hockey Analyst. You thought you got rid of me.
I thought this was Leafs lunch. I didn't know what was going on.
I just switched it. Now starting at 4 o'clock. Poolie, we're trying to campaign for a four-day work week. I mean, this. I know this comes as a surprise to a lot of people. I'm actually agreeing with O on this. I do like it. I feel like, you know, people will be way more productive. I don't know how you feel about that.
I think it'd be terrific. Absolutely
yes.
Terrific. Yes, a big fan of the four-day work week. You'd be sharper. You'd be fired up. Just that little break. I think it'd be terrific.
Yeah, I know. Because Mondays ruin your Sundays.
I've also been sitting beside O for 5 years now on the panel. So some of O is rubbing off on
me. Yeah, he's just been chipping away at you. Chipping and chipping away at you.
Exactly
he's
right.
He's finally broken you down. All right, Dave Poolin.
He broke me down a long time ago, Andy.
Yeah. So you're joining. I got to do all these reads, Pools. That's the one thing I'm noticing about Overdrive. A lot of reads here. So Dave Poolin's joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. I want to go around the league with you first, Pooley, even before going to the Toronto Maple Leafs here, because Patrick Laine speaking to the media, we know that it was a down year last year. I'm willing to give everybody, you know, just a little bit of a break for last year. We don't need to go into the reasons why. We all know why, but it wasn't pretty. It wasn't good with Columbus. But I think the line that a lot of people are picking up on here, Pools, is the fact that he said, I don't need to prove myself right anymore. He does go on to say that he still wants to get better. It's always about getting better. But he goes on to say, I don't need to prove myself anymore. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I think he's got to reprove himself. I mean, he's proven that he can score in the National Hockey League. I mean, what did he have his first 4 years? It was ridiculous. I mean, you know, put up great, great numbers. He can score in the National Hockey League. That was a tough situation. The only person that was probably happy with his output was Pierre-Luc Dubois, who had a similar output when he went to Winnipeg, and so it was hard to compare them. I mean, the trade really didn't work out for either team to this point. The best player of the three was probably Jack Roslovic. But, you know, that whole situation in Columbus, they have to get a star player to really engage and really want to stay there, and that's been hard for them. And they've had some really, really good players there. Now, Werenski did on defense. He doubled down on defense, but you know, they've lost a lot of guys over the last couple of years, and I like some of their young guys. And, you know, I can't figure out why guys haven't found Columbus to be, you know, a better town to play in. And a large part of it is winning, because it's a great town. I mean, Columbus is a great college town. Ohio State is there. It's a good numbers-wise. It's a good rink setup. It's a good downtown area. And so, you know, they've got to win. And they haven't been able to do that consistently. And Jarmo rolled the dice a couple of years ago and went for it, and even rolled the dice in this trade. And he brought a guy in Patrick Laine, who has put up huge, huge numbers. And he's got to get back on track and do it again. But I think anytime you have a year like that, he's saying it for himself, Andy, as much as anything. I mean, he's trying to convince himself that he doesn't have to prove it to anybody, but he does. And, you know, he's going to get into the contract portion of it as well. And so he's got to go out and show that he's the player that he was his first 4 years in the league.
Pooley, you talk about Laine, and let's just, I mean, we're not here to break down Columbus, but I look at a couple guys on their roster that I think, you know, need a resurgence. And the other guy is Max Domi for me. You know, Max Domi, was it 2 years ago? I guess when there was an 82-game season, he had 72 points as a centerman in Montreal. And, you know, the previous year when he was traded for Galchenyuk, had 9 goals. You know, Bergevin took a gamble on him. And the one thing that, you know, I know Bergevin takes a lot of heat, but he's been pretty good at moving assets before, you know, they kind of hit the ditch. And that was Galchenyuk, that was Domi. Do you see Domi having resurgence there, or is he a guy that just is kind of plateaued and needs to kind of just kind of deal with what he has in front of him?
Yeah, I think he's still got game, Jamie. I do.
Yeah.
You know, he had a huge year a couple of years ago, and 72 points, and he was good every night. You know, we did a lot of those games, and he was really, really good. And he almost seems to get caught up in a little bit. And I think, you know, they tried him on the wing. They tried him with different players. He really didn't get settled in. They thought he and Drouin could play together. That didn't work out. But, you know, he's a guy they've got to lean on in Columbus. I mean, they gave up Josh Anderson for him, and it's a big year for him. It's a contract year for him as well. So, you know, I do think he still has game. He's only 26 years old. I think he's you know, when he plays like he's capable, we've seen him. It was only 2 years ago that he had that big year. So he's got to get back to just keeping it simple and doing what he does and not overcomplicate things.
Pooley, we were talking yesterday about the Eichel situation. There's some things I do understand about it and some things I find very confusing. Like, if you could just put, like, big picture summary of what's going on there and how you would have handled it, what is the plan there, like, to do this? Because it seems like the only thing left to do is remove the player from the situation and go forward. So what has to happen?
I think the player will be removed from the situation and they'll move forward. I think they've already made that decision. Their problem now is, they don't have a healthy Jack Eichel. They haven't got the medical thing looked after. And think of the complexity of that. I mean, if I'm a player and I'm not comfortable with the type of surgery and I go get a second opinion, which is your ability, you know, you can do that. That's collectively bargained. That part I don't understand, and why he couldn't proceed with the surgery that he wanted. Now, there's, you know, this is at a medical level where it seems their doctors aren't comfortable with what he wants to get done. He's not comfortable with what they want to do. Man, if it's my body and my neck that they're operating it on, I need a comfort level. And so, but they weren't able to get that addressed. I do think that he'll end up out west. I think there's, you know, I think LA may be involved, Anaheim may be involved. They've got assets there. But now the value is the question. And you're not going to pay the absolute premium because you don't know what his health is. But I can't see him with what he's gone through and, you know, even this recent move. And I was laughing when this all happened in the last couple of days because somebody said, have you ever seen that happen where they take away the captaincy? And I said, well, actually, yes, they took it away from me in Philly and then traded me 2 weeks later, 10 days later. And, you know, I had been out with a broken hand and Paul Holmgren was the coach and he called me and he said, you know, we think the leadership is changing on this team. And I said, well, I haven't been playing. And he said, well, yeah, but some of the younger guys, you know, we want to give one of the younger guys the captaincy. I said, well, that's fine. You know, Homer, you can do whatever you want. I don't think the leadership's changed on this team. And then I think literally 10 days later, I got traded. So I have seen it happen. And I do think that he's, you know, going to move on. And I think there's teams that do want him and would love to add him. But now the complexity of what Buffalo is asking for a fully healthy Jack Eichel. Well, he's not a fully healthy Jack Eichel. He's simply not. And he's still, when he's healthy, if he's healthy, and, you know, a really, really good player. But that's the arguing point right now is what they're going to pay for him.
You know, Pools, there are situations in sport, to quote Lou Lamoriello, that are an unfortunate set of circumstances. But this really feels like a bed the Buffalo Sabres made. Like, I can't help but think we're here because of the decisions the Sabres really made along the way with, you know, how the whole situation's been handled in Buffalo, from not making playoffs, personnel decisions and trading players and their draft, to the way they've even treated Eichel, and now even with this surgery situation. And I know we're sitting here saying, well, how are you going to trade an injured guy? Well, it didn't have to get here, right? Like, he could have, I mean, just come to an agreement on a surgery. I just feel like this is the bed they made. I don't, It could have been avoided, but they did it. I know I sound like I'm just completely slinging mud and pointing fingers, but I really do feel like this wasn't an unfortunate set of circumstances. This was completely manufactured by the Sabres. I don't know how you feel on that.
I don't disagree with that, Andy, but you're talking three general managers in his time as a player for the
Buffalo
Sabres.
That's why I kept saying Sabres as an organization, and I'm not going Kevin Adams or anything, right?
No, I mean, you're talking a lot of different people involved. And if you're Jack Eichel, it's human nature to say, okay, I was the second pick in the draft. Connor McDavid was the first pick in the draft. Now, McDavid has not had the team success, but, you know, he's had a lot of individual success and, you know, with his Hart trophies and how well he's played. And then you look up the road at the first pick the next year is Austin Matthews, and he's watched Toronto have really good regular seasons, albeit, you know, haven't had success in the playoffs. And you can't help but look at your peers, you know, as you go through things. And what has Jack Eichel accomplished in the NHL right now? He's, you know, he hasn't done what he set out to do. Yeah, he's been a point-a-game guy, but he hasn't had any team success at all, regular season or playoffs. Mm-hmm. And his frustration level seems to say that, you know, he's done all he can do in Buffalo, and it's time to move on. That's everything indicates that to me. I mean, I can't see him. Can you see him lacing up and putting number 9 back on? It just doesn't seem to work to me. I think they've moved on, and now they have to move him on.
Yeah, I agree. Bringing it closer to home, Pooley, you know, you take a look at this Leafs team, and, you know, obviously the early exit to the playoffs, and everyone's been talking about that, and even the first couple of days of training camp, we had John Tavares on, and we asked him, you know, at what point do you start looking forward and instead of looking back, and he was said, you know, we just want to continue to grow as a group. When you look at this team as a whole and their off-season moves, the players that they've lost and the players that they've added, do you think this team is status quo? Are there bigger question marks for you, or do you think they're better on paper?
There are bigger question marks for me, Jamie. You know, you've lost a couple of key pieces, and I say that in Zach Hyman and Freddie Anderson. And, you know, goaltending is a big question, and you would know better than we would. Mrazek and Campbell, you know, Mrazek didn't have the opportunity to stay in Carolina. They moved on from him, were willing to move on from him. And, you know, Freddie had his struggles in the playoffs, and that's what was magnified. And Hyman is going to be a big loss. We all say that. You know, I listened to Tavares, and when he talked about knocking the door down, and, hey, guys, we don't question the four players. I mean, they're great players. I mean, you've got two of the top five scorers in the National Hockey League. You've got the top goal scorer in the National Hockey League. Tavares would be in your top 20 or 25 scorers. And you round it out with Willie Nylander. We don't question those four at all. And they may get better. But I'm not sure they alone can knock it down. And I'm not sure there's enough around them to do it. And, you know, of the entire group that came in, then David Kampf is arguably the best at what he does, and that's more of a defensive role. And how are the pieces going to fit together? You know, when you look at the success of Tampa Bay, they've lost a lot in that third line, clearly. And, you know, their superstars were great in their cup runs, but, boy, they got a lot of contributions from other guys. You know, the winning goal in the Stanley Cup deciding game was Ross Colton. You know, and right. Think of the big goals that other people got besides guys named Kucherov and Point and Stamkos. And, yes, they were great, but they got a lot of contribution. Well, that came from those guys growing together. And, you know, with the Leafs, those guys have continued to change every year. Now it's Kasha or Bunting or Richie or whomever it may be in that group. And so they don't get the continuity to grow together over 3 or 4 years because they have to keep constantly changing because of the cap situation. And, you know, I once again, I don't doubt the core four at all. I doubt the ability to build enough around them to let them just be who they are and do what they do. Because no matter how good those four guys are, you still have to have other guys doing more than they've done in the last number of years. I think Zach Bogosian's going to be a big loss too, guys. I really do. You know, I think quietly he was a real, real solid piece of this team. So now their first-round draft picks in Sandin and Liljegren have to step up. One of those guys has to step up and not just play in the NHL, but contribute in the NHL. And that hasn't been the case with those guys so far.
Dave Poulin joining us here on Overdrive. One person or player in particular that I'm looking at, I think a lot of people are wondering, of course, you know, Zach Hyman leaving. And I know Austin Matthews right now, you know, still dealing with that injured wrist. Keep hearing he could be ready for the start. Doesn't matter. We know he's going in on that top line center. We know Mitch Marner is his winger. Do you think Nick Ritchie can fill that role? What do you, or I know I'm asking you to predict here, but how about this is the better question. What do you need to see from him to believe that he can stay on that line?
Well, he's got to move with those guys. I'm not sure that he can move with those guys speed-wise. And you know, he's got to be the first guy in the forecheck, and he's got to control the down-low play. And I'm not sure he can do it. And, you know, he wasn't able to fit in well enough in Boston to do it with their big guys. And they tried him a lot with Krejci, and they tried him, you know, in various situations. And I'm not sure what makes us think he can do it here. He hasn't done it yet in the National Hockey League consistently. And, you know, I see him more in a perfect situation on the third line and going out and banging with that group of guys than I do in that top tier. And I think one thing that gets underestimated with a Zach Hyman type of player is how cerebral his play was. And he was so good with his body down low, you know, on the forecheck and separating, being first and then separating the guy from the puck. But his body position down low created so much space for both Marner and Matthews to do what they did, his down late, down low play. And I think that's going to be interesting to watch, because that's the one piece where he could really help. McDavid is, you know, below the tops of the circles because he's so good down there. But I don't see Ritchie doing that to that level. I just don't. I think we'll see Kerfoot in the top six playing left wing just because he's more functional, you know, and can sink the game that well with those guys. To play with those guys, man, you got to think at a really, really high level, and you know, and be able to do that on an every night basis.
As you know, Pooley, McDavid is just that he plays the game at such a speed. Like, is it automatic that Hyman, the way he plays, that fits in? Because everybody says playing with Sid in his heyday, he was flying up and down a million miles an hour, and it was, for some reason, even talented players said it was a difficult thing to do. Do you think that works? Just bang, it fits immediately?
Yeah, you know, I asked an NHL coach last week about that exact thing, and he said, well, let's look at McDavid on the rush. He's the best player on the rush. But on the rush, a lot of that is solo. And you know, I mean, when he takes off and goes, he's taking off and going. And they said, this coach said, if he gets better below the top of the circles and attacks more, that's where Hyman's going to help him. So it's not full length up and down the ice. It's, you know, it is the grind game down low. And you just think of Hyman controlling the puck as well as he does. Puljujarvi's a big body. And then you've got McDavid dangerously without the puck. And so I think, I don't think it's an automatic when you think of how McDavid is on the rush, because there's nobody that can skate with him on the rush. I think it's more what he adds to McDavid down low. And once again, he can think the game so well, Hyman can, that I think that's a good fit for McDavid.
Pools, one more for you. I just want to talk about Vladimir Tarasenko. As we know, in May, through his agent, asked for a trade. July, come the expansion draft, they left him unprotected, which I guess makes sense when you've asked for a trade. But he's there, he's skating, he's taking part in training camp, you know, says, I don't want to be a distraction. Is it a distraction, or are we in a world now where players, whether it's through their own social media accounts, through their agents, are just more vocal about their wants and their needs, and teammates are kind of used to it, and teammates know why a guy's asking for a trade, right? Like, I mean, is it a distraction, or it's kind of like, meh, it's part of the business?
Well, if he plays well, it's not a distraction. If he doesn't play well as you're a superstar and you're making that much money, then it's a distraction. You know, play well. And then it won't be. And by the way, if you play well, you're a lot easier to move if you want to get moved. So you can control that to a point as well. Go out and be the Vladdy Tarasenko that you've been in the past, and then we'll have an option of trading you. But if he's moping around the locker room, then it is a factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Attitude. Pooley, always appreciate you taking the time. We'll chat with you later.
Okay, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
That's Dave Poulin joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Discover your next Toyota hybrid at Maple Toyota. Come see why Maple Toyota is the best place to get yours. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland. Maple, my hood, Wonderland. That's right.
All right.
O-Dog's a little jealous. I know, because you keep bringing it up. I know.